For our first interview today on Eye on the Valley, we're hearing from Ward Draper from the 5 and 2 Ministries, a Christian church that runs a shelter and provides resources to homeless people in Abbotsford. Draper told us about how the situation has and has not changed during the pandemic and highlighted the needs that remain unmet after all of his years in public service. Here is our conversation.
What does Abbotsford's homeless community need?
Accessible, affordable housing would be like top of priority. It will always be top of priority. And then an increased range of services. So getting support from the various levels to increase services. So everything from detox accessibility, recovery spaces. Significantly, we need much more in the way of mental health programs, much more in the way of mental health supports. We need to find ways to control some of the gentrification that's going on in our city. And the city's also got to get, I think, a little more courageous and creative too in these solutions and in housing. We also need like 24-hour spaces for people. So there's where they could go and get resources or connected to services. We need some more of that. As this city grows, these problems are going to grow. Right. I mean, the reason that we see the increase in homelessness is because with the increase of economics of the improvement of business and the wealth of a city improves, homelessness improves. That's just a norm in the Western world. So as our city increases financially and economically, we need to be able to keep pace to address the fallout from that and the social impacts from that. So, I mean, we need to see all the government really just invest in the basics. And that really starts with housing and support services. There's one place in Abbotsford, for example, that was an affordable living space, had cheap rent, you know, $650 a month kind of deal for a one bedroom that was bought. It got a new coat of paint, some new siding, and rents now $1,200 a month for that one bedroom. Mm-hmm. How is that allowable, wow. Right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Right? And that's not uncommon. That's the norm. That's the accepted practices. And I just find that that's doing so much damage. It's just, as we all know, it's doing damage.
The opiate crisis is another crisis happening in British Columbia.
Yep.
And you probably deal with it on a daily basis on the street. We hear interpretations from the government. And what is your interpretation of what's going on down on the street level?
Well, I mean, the opioid crisis, as we all know, is just absolutely insane. What is it? In the last 4 years, 6,500 people in BC have died from ODs, and we're still not getting the supports we need. We're not getting the legislation we need to start maybe trying prescription-based approaches. Again, we don't even have the resources to even just go, hey, someone wants to get clean. We can't get them clean. They just have to keep using till they're dead. It's disheartening, right? Like, we have this health crisis, this COVID thing. And we've only had, you know, a few hundred people, you know, kind of pass away from it, unfortunately. But we have thousands dying from ODs. There doesn't seem to be a level of urgency that's necessary to address it. There just seems to be a lack of concern because it's mostly those people on the streets, you know, so whatever. There's still too much stigma that needs to be addressed. And it's definitely not being adequately addressed. And people who want to get clean, and I know lots who keep trying, but there's no way to do it. It's just near impossible to get into treatment or to get into any sort of recovery. It's the numbers are of people needing versus what's available is just, yeah.
I wanted to ask you though briefly about demographics of mm-hmm. the people that you're serving, because you mentioned earlier that you do pay attention to those things. When you started seeing more seniors, you noticed. Mm-hmm. Have there been any sort of like demographic shifts, trends that you think are meaningful in your area?
Well, the things that we've seen a lot more of in the last couple of years is increasing youth. So younger folks outside and using, like a lot more like late teens and teenagers in general, a lot more younger adults, and then a lot more older folks. You know, we have, I think, what's the oldest person that's ever ended up on the streets in Abbotsford? You know, over 80 living in their, you know, vehicle.
Wow.
Right? So, I mean, it's absolutely insane. And you know, we've seen things like families over the last couple of years, entire families of like 5 or 6 people living in tents on mountains, right? So we're seeing a lot more of those type of anomalies. You know, when I first started, it was, you know, probably your average would be somebody between 30 and 50, you know, that kind of range. The more the stereotypical homeless person. But now it's just like, it's everything. before we used to be able to keep track of everybody on the streets of Abbotsford, like we would know everybody, like we actually knew everyone. Now it's like, oh, this is new. Oh, this is new. Oh, this is new. We're meeting so many new people who are, say, in Vancouver, and they came out here because just the overcrowding, their fears of COVID, they're coming out here, and now they're getting stuck here, and there's not, blah, 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 blah. We're just seeing a lot of just a bigger range of folks, age-wise, demographics, just across the board. And it's, I just don't know what we're going to do.
Because there's so many immigrants in Abbotsford, and because there's such a large South Asian population in Abbotsford, mm-hmm. as that has grown, have you also seen more South Asian people coming to you for support?
No.
Or more immigrants coming to you for support?
Not too much in the way of immigrants or South Asians. South Asian population has always been fairly steady in Abbotsford. Like, we don't see a lot of folks outside. And that has a lot to do with cultural norms and values. Mm-hmm. But that's just been my experience. We see, of course, the biggest demographics are usually First Nations, right? The Indigenous population is quite significant. And all the data keeps just showing that as well. But yeah, immigration population, we'll see, like, you know, some migrant workers, you know, once in a while come by for an extra meal or looking for maybe some direction for supports on different things. But all told, not a significant increase that I've noticed. It's just a lot more older and younger, Caucasian and First Nation, I guess.
The homeless community's relationship with the APD has mm-hmm. been on the rocks for a few years. Is that improving somewhat, or is that kind of the same as it used to be?
You know, for the most part, it's drastically improved over the years. The police are much more helpful and engaged in some ways, but they still are using heavy-handed techniques that I think aren't really ideal. You know, for example, the other day I was at, about, what was it, last week, we had a friend of ours who lives outside. He's a great guy, First Nations, and he was camping downtown, and we had, I think it was 3 police officers respond, 4 city workers, and a couple of people from the cleanup crew from the recycling company to deal with one individual sleeping outside. And, you know, and during COVID, nobody's wearing masks either. And they're just kind of just standing around this person. I mean, that presence alone, the mental impacts, I mean, there's still a lot of things that have to be changed and to be, they have to learn how to have maybe better trauma-informed responses, because mm-hmm. these folks are outside mostly because of trauma. So, I mean, we have a lot of learning to do still. I think it's just a lack of training everywhere, right? Just a lack of education. And so it goes. I mean, I've just seen camps being torn down all over the place on a regular basis, and it's kind of the same old story. How do we motivate our government at all levels that housing is needed like yesterday, and we need like a shit ton of it? And nobody seems to be getting that point. They don't understand that expediency. You know, the folks that work outside with these communities and work with our friends that are struggling to keep a roof over their head, we see the impact on this, and it's huge, because it doesn't just affect them, it affects everybody. We lose, you know, policing resources or healthcare resources because we've put or kept people in these situations that are inhumane. They are just deplorable, and the government needs to understand that they need to make housing like the number one priority in our country.
Thanks, Ward, again, and have a great day.
You as well.